scriptures. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 12. I don't know about you, but my heart's already been blessed. I tell you, it's been good to be here. 1 John 2:12, I want to preach to you briefly on the subject, the blessing of forgiveness. The blessing of forgiveness. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 12. The Bible says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. In Psalm 32, verse number 1, it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the service that has preceded this one. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the presentation by Brother Steve. And thank you today for your presence in our midst. Now, Father in heaven, if there's someone here today in this service who does not have the blessing of sins forgiven, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, bless now the preaching of the Word of God today. We'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, many times people will say to you, have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. And of course, that's good. We appreciate hearing that. And quite often someone will be so kind as to make that mention or say that to you. But we need to understand today that if our sins are forgiven, we will most definitely have a blessed day. Because the verse says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now, to kind of lead into my thought today, as we mentioned, the blessing of forgiveness, let me just begin by saying this. Unfortunately, this unregenerate world lacks the ability to properly evaluate things that matter the most in life. Wealth, fame, power, esteem, and influence are the things that this world counts dearest. But God's people see it differently. We have a different discernment. We understand because our spiritual eyes have been opened to reality as it is. You see, that point of the lack of discernment on the part of the world is so clearly seen and proven today in the lifestyles of the many celebrities, the power craze of many politicians, and the ruthless ambition of many materialistic-minded people. God says that a person is really blessed, that person is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Many things in life count as a blessing, we know that. Blessings come in many forms and are too numerous to count. That song sometimes that we sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. There's something wrong with that song. And the point is, you can't count them all. You just can't count them all. Blessings are plural in number, but real spiritual discernment narrows down those that are of primary importance. I thank the Lord today for health, for strength, for food on the table. Thank God for clothes to wear. Thank God for a comfortable building, a church. Thank the Lord today for material blessings. But my friend, let me be quick to say today that I'm really thankful to God for spiritual blessings. I'm really thankful to God for salvation. I'm really thankful today for the day that Jesus Christ came into my heart and transformed my life over 40 years ago. And the thing about it, if a person lives to be 100 and dies without Christ, they still go to a pauper's grave more so than the person that maybe only lives through a teenage year. But they've come to Jesus Christ because the greatest blessings in life is to know the one who died on the cross of Calvary in our stead. Not all blessings are of equal importance in the sense that not, and I'll illustrate this way, in the same sense that not all objects in our home are of equal importance. I'd say, and I think you agree with me, that your refrigerator is probably more important than your potted plant. So you see, it's a matter of priority, isn't it? When you boil it down, the greatest blessings in life is a blessing of forgiveness of sins. Someone said, I would not change my blessed estate, for all the world calls good or great. And while my faith can keep her hold, I envy not the sinner's gold. In the 14th century, there was a man by the name of Robert Bruce of Scotland. Robert Bruce was heading towards the throne of the kingship in Scotland. He was leading his men in battle to gain independence against the British. The British tried to capture him and keep him from becoming the king of Scotland. Robert Bruce was forced to flee from the British, and the British had bloodhounds on his trail attempting to find him. Robert Bruce came to a stream. Wise as he was, he jumped into the water, he waded upstream, then he went into the forest. So obviously when the bloodhounds came to the bank, they lost his trail, for the stream carried his sin away. And it wasn't too long after that that Robert Bruce would wear the crown of Scotland. Let me bring this to bear on a point this morning. By the grace of God, through faith we're safe. No sin hound can touch us. The trail is broken by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, when the bloodhounds of hell are on the track of a child of God, because we're under the blood, they lose their scent, because we're safe and secure through the blood of the crucified one. The greatest blessing today you and I can enjoy is to be saved and have the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. I want to just kind of narrow it down with the time that we have left when we talk about the forgiveness of sins. Number one, notice the possessor of the blessing. The possessor of the blessing. Our text, please. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. The possessor of the blessing is the little children he's talking about here in this text. The possessor of the blessing is the one whose transgression is forgiven. I love what it says there. Little children. Little children. Now, Jesus one time in John chapter 8 was talking to his critics, those that knew not saving grace, the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious element of his day. Jesus looked at them. He said, "You are of your father, the devil." That's a stern statement. Ye are of your father, the devil. Which would lead me to say today, everyone in this church service, you are either of your father, the heavenly father, or of your father, the devil. That sounds so stern, it sounds so solemn, and it sounds so judgmental. But the plain truth of the matter is, you're either saved or not. You're either forgiven or not. And the thing about it is the fact that a person can be religious to the T. But if you've never been to the fount filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, you're still lost today. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saves us. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The possessor of the blessing is a child of God. Notice secondly, the priority of this blessing. The priority. To have our sins forgiven, to have our transgressions forgiven, means that we've been justified. Justified. Don't you love that word, justified? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Justified. That's the priority of the blessing. In other words, every blessing of life pales in significance of being able to say, I have been justified freely by the grace of God. Justification. Declared righteous. Let me quickly say this about justification, and this is not anything new. You've heard this many, many times from this pulpit. Justification is unpurchasable. It is unpurchasable. You can't work for it. You can't strive for it. You can't earn it. It's not by works. It's unpurchasable. Like the rich man and the poor man that lived side by side. Poor man was poverty stricken, needed food on his table. Thought, I'll go over to the rich man's house and I'll take what pennies I have and try to buy a loaf of bread from that rich man to feed my family. He goes over and knocks on that rich man's door. Rich man came to the door. Man said, sir, could I buy a loaf of bread to feed my family? And the rich man looks at the poor man and says, no, sir, you cannot. He said, I'm too rich to sell my bread. You're too poor to buy my bread, but I'll just give it to you. And my friend, that's how it is with salvation. You and I are too poor to buy. God's too rich to sell. It has to be free, or we'd never have it. The possessor of the blessing, little children. The priority of the blessing, it means to be justified. And I'll quickly add this and we'll move on. Justification is unpurchasable. Justification is instantaneously. And justification is irreversible. Irreversible. God doesn't change His mind. Those who are justified will remain justified. Here's a point. Many times we overlook. Sanctification is progressive. It could be positional for when we're in Christ. But justification is a one-time experience. That'll never be repeated. Listen to me this morning. Every child of God is as much justified today as you will be when you're in heaven. It's irreversible. It's irreversible. This is why this morning I'm thrilled to be a gospel preacher. This is why I'm thrilled to be able to open the Bible and just preach the plain truth of Scripture. This is not about religion. This is not a religious thing. This is the truth of Scripture. It's only by justification that a person is saved and made right with God. And religion's not the answer. Righteousness in Christ is. The possessor of the blessing, little children, the priority of the blessing, and then the promise of the blessing. The promise, you say, preacher, how do I know it's a genuine offer? It's legitimate. It is credible. How do I know? The promise of the blessing is this. And look with me at your Bibles, please. I want to point out something quickly. Verse 12 again. I write unto you. I write unto you. It's the writing of Scripture. I write unto you. I heard Brother Steve hold his Bible up this morning and say, we believe that this is the inerrant, inspired word of the living God. The promise, the truth, the certification is in thus saith the Lord. He said, I write unto you. That's the Scriptures. That's the writing. This, by the way, you know this, the book of 1 John has been called an epistle of certainty. An epistle of certainty. 39 times in the book of 1 John, the word know or its form is used. 39 times. It's an epistle of certainty. This book, wonderfully so, not only gives a certainty of knowing one is saved after trusting Christ as Savior, but it confirms the fact of the forgiveness of sins. The fact of forgiveness is confirmed not by sentiment, but by Scripture. Did you hear me? The fact of salvation is not confirmed by sentiment, but by Scriptures. These things I write. Here's my point. I got up this morning, and I had a headache, and my back was aching. Fortunately or unfortunately, my doctor told me last week that I've got arthritis in the spine. But why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this to make an illustration. If you want to pray for me, that's fine too, but I'm just making a point here. So consequently, my day didn't get started off too good. A couple cups of coffee helped me a little bit. And if someone would have asked me this morning, "Preacher, do you feel like you're saved?" I'd say to them, if you're talking how I feel physically, my answer would be emphatically no. I feel terrible. But guess what? My case for security is not based upon my sentiment. It's not based upon how I feel. It's based upon what God says. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Amen. Our case is in the Scriptures. The Bible. God's Word. If I didn't believe this morning the Bible was inerrant, inspired of the Word of the living God, I'd go home, I'd be looking for a job Monday morning, I'd do whatever I could to try to take care of my family, because I wouldn't be worthy of a preacher if I didn't believe the Bible. But I believe it. I believe it when it says you can be saved by heeding it. I believe it when it says we can be secure by heeding it. I believe it when it says that we can be cleansed by heeding it. "Wherewithal shall a man take heed to his, cleanse his way?" By taking heed to, according to the Word. "Now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you." I believe it. Our case for security is not built upon sentiment, but upon Scripture. John said, "I write unto you." I love it. "I write unto you." If more of us would spend more time accepting what it says in Scripture instead of what someone else is telling us or how we may feel on a given moment, we'd be a lot better off. Then I must say, number four, notice the provision for the forgiveness. Verse 12, same text. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake." That's the provision. When the Bible says His name's sake, it's basically, John is basically saying, in virtue of what He's done for us. By virtue of what He's done for us. Forgiven for His name's sake. That means by virtue of what He's done. That does not rule out the cross work. That includes Calvary. You know what? A person is not forgiven because God's big-hearted. They're forgiven because a sufficient payment has been made for our sins at Calvary by the precious Lamb of God. Do you know this morning the Bible says God so loved the world? He does. We're not saved by love. We're saved by grace. God so loved the world that He gave. If it would have stopped without the giving, we'd be in a world of hurt. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The blessing of salvation is associated with Calvary. His finished work. The precious Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary became our sin substitute. He died in our stead. All our iniquities on Him were laid. He nailed them all to the tree. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. In other words, when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, God judged Him in our stead. He became the sinner in our stead. The one who is sinless and perfect, holy, wholly separated from sinners, who did no sin, who knew no sin, yet at that point of time, God judged Him in our stead. We're forgiven for His name's sake. That means what He did. Then, quickly, let me say the proof for the forgiveness of sins. The proof. The proof. I've mentioned the provision. Now, the proof. John 3, you don't have to turn there, but let me quote a couple verses to make my point. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." You know, the Bible in the precious book of 1 John makes it clear many things, proving the fact that a person can know that they're saved in this book. Well, now, note that verse again. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, and we should be called, I like that, called the sons of God. You know how we can know that we're saved? If you're a Christian this morning, you can know because of the one that does the calling, that we should be called. You see, that's the best certification you'll find when God the Father does the calling. He's the one that certifies us. What a title, sons of God. Sons of God. You know, we're sinners this morning deserving hell, but I'll tell you what, God's grace is so good, He still saves us in spite of who we are. I heard of an old story told, I think it's Charles Spurgeon, in fact it was Charles Spurgeon, told a story of a monk one time, and this monk humbled down and made the statement, I feel that I'm a hypocrite, I feel that I'm no better than Judas. And somebody that was in his presence heard him say that, and that man said, I knew that years ago. I've always known that. And then the monk gets up to his feet. He was mad as could be. He said, don't you dare talk to me like that. He had already made his own case. Undoubtedly, he wasn't sincere, was he? But how can we know that we're saved? The proof of forgiveness of sin. The Father calls us His sons. We're adopted. Adoption gives us a new name. New birth gives us a new nature. You know, I don't have time. This book, oh, please read it. We have a book here that gives to us the assurance of life, for one thing, proving we're saved. These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The assurance of life, 1 John 5:13. We have the abundance of joy. These things I've written that your joy might be full. Chapter 1, verse 8. We have the agreement of works taught in this book. If you know He's righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. 1 John 2:29. There is going to be the abhorrence of sin. Chapter 3, verse number 9. And I don't have time to develop it. There's going to be the acceptance of other God's people in chapter 3, verse 14, loving the brethren. There's going to be the affirmation of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 3, verse number 24. Chapter 3, verse 24 says, He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. We actually have the affirmation of the Holy Spirit saying to us, through us, inwardly to us, you're saved. I remember the many times in my life, and I know going over just a little bit, you'll bear with me as we close her down. I remember the many times in my life that I've been tangled up and discouraged, let's say, and sometimes a little bit out of shape spiritually. And don't look at me like you're surprised your preacher's saying that, because I'm looking in the faces of several in the same boat, if you'd only be honest. We can get out of fellowship with God, my friend. It can happen to the best of us. And there have been times we may momentarily think, well, Lord, I've blown it. I've made a mess of things. And sometimes people even say, am I even saved? But I've found this to be true, and this is just me talking. In the darkness of the hour, in the midst of my confusion, I still sense that still small voice within my soul saying, you're okay. You're all right. You're in good hands. And we still keep feeding from that hidden manna. It's impossible for a child of God to ever flee totally out of the presence of the Lord. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, verifies to us, encourages us, and lets us know that this Christian life didn't start out by a works proposition. It started out by grace. It carries on by grace, and it'll culminate by grace. It's God that does it all. He puts us in His family. He keeps us in His family. And I'll tell you, He'll take us home royally one day to be in the presence of His glorified family. It's grace all the way. If my friend, listen to me, we didn't work to get in it. We can't work our way out of it. Not that we want to. The song says, Jesus led me all the way. You know, we've had a lot of sick people in our church. Many of them have been delusional. Many of them can't think properly. Many of them's mind has been distorted because of disease. And how tragic. But be sure of this morning. There's never going to be a point of time or a point of mind or a position of mind that'll ever render anyone less a child of God. God's still there. And I'll tell you what, though we can't mentally understand things, God's still taking control of it all to the end. And by the way, Sister Ann has the clearest mind now she's ever had. In this world, we're going to have tribulations. We don't know what the route's going to hold in terms of how we may physically suffer, but that does not in any way mean the character of God or indicate that God's less loving, less kind. Some of the greatest saints that ever lived have suffered tremendously, many of them dying in young ages of life. You can't count the greatest blessings of life as being physical. The forgiveness of sins is the greatest blessing of life. Amen. If you have the forgiveness of sins, my friend, you're blessed more than Donald Trump. Amen. With all of his riches. Or you have more wealth than all the gold that used to be stored in Fort Knox. I guess, I don't know if it's still there or not, but here's the point. You're more wealthy. The greatest blessing is the forgiveness of sins. And if you're not forgiven today, I trust you will get forgiven by turning to Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning in our